Coming up on the DMT 1-to-1 show, episode 69, on the 6th of August 2014, an interview with David Dufresne, CEO of BandZoogle, a service that provides musicians with everything they need to build a great website. Hello everyone and welcome to the DMT 1-to-1 show, and this week it's a real pleasure to welcome David Dufresne, the CEO of the company BandZoogle. So hi David, and thanks for joining me from Montreal, right? How's it going?
Thanks. It's going well. It's a pretty warm and sunny day so far in Montreal, which is a rare treat, and I'm honored and happy to be on the show.
It's great to have you. And so today we're going to talk about the company, of course. It's a company that has a relatively long history, so you know, I want to sort of explore it a little bit and also talk about the latest news, of course, in due time. First of all, what is BandZoogle all about for people that may not have heard about the company?
BandZoogle is many things, but we are a website platform for bands and musicians.
Right.
So we're, like, first and foremost, we're a destination. If you want to build a full website for your band or for yourself as an artist, your full .com, you come to BandZoogle. We make it extremely easy for you to do that yourself. So you don't need to code anything. You don't need to hire anyone. We have a lot of themes that you can use, or you can sort of customize your own theme using your own graphics, your own artwork, your own fonts even. And then all the features you need for a band website are all, like, most of them are built in.
Yeah.
So things like music players, photo galleries, we have our own blogging platform or blogging feature. We even have a little podcast feature.
Nice.
We have analytics. We have events, calendars, with tons of, you know, options that are thought of for specifically for musicians.
Sure.
We also have commerce options. So if you want to sell your digital music, if you want to sell your physical CDs, vinyl, any merch. We also added recently if you want to sell any digital files. So not just music. If you want to sell sheet music,
nice.
Beats, loops, video, anything you can sell through the platform. And we don't take any cut of yourselves. So that's
great.
That's a pretty nice thing. And we also have a mailing list component to a platform. So you can manage your email list. You can send out regular newsletters or things like geo-targeted emails. And all of that comes in a package. We have three plans, $10, $15, $20 a month. So it ends up being a pretty cool, affordable, easy way, but also powerful and professional way for an artist to establish the hub for their web presence.
Sure. And so let's trail back to the history of the company. It's been around for quite some time, you know, especially considering internet years as opposed to normal years. And so can you sort of tell us a little bit more about how it got started and how it evolved?
It actually got started 10 years ago. We're turning 10 at the end of the summer. I'm not the founder. I joined the company a little bit more than 4 years ago.
Yeah.
The founder is my partner, Chris Vinson, who's now our CTO. And the short version of the story is that Chris used to, in the late 90s, he played in a grunge band here in Montreal, played bass. He also learned how to build websites. And the website he had built for his band helped them get signed by one of the biggest labels here in Canada.
Nice.
So they did a record, they toured, lived, you know, the rock star life for a couple of years, and then the band broke up, and the label, actually the group of labels, hired Chris as a webmaster for all of their acts.
Yeah.
And that was a bit much, so Chris built a console so that either the bands or the managers could go and update their websites themselves. And a lot of people started saying, hey, I could use this for my own band.
Yeah.
And that's how he got the idea of launching BandZoogle. He started it on his own, got a small loan from the owner of the label, and, you know, after a while, hired his first employee and started getting more users and more paying users.
Yeah.
And, you know, 10 years later, we're a team of about 20. We have now a little bit over 22,000 bands and artists that use the platform.
Wow.
That's paying users. We always have like 4,000 or 5,000 trials going on, and we've remained. That one of the reasons I think that explains our longevity is that we've always remained independent.
Yeah.
We've never got outside funding, so we've been able to grow the company very organically.
Yeah.
At our own rate, and now we're in a very healthy, profitable position, and you know, we keep growing at a pretty good pace, and
that's awesome,
and so, having a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're based in mostly Montreal still?
We're one of those companies where everyone works remotely.
Yeah.
So both Chris and I are kind of pretty further away, but further apart. But we're both in Montreal. We have two other people in Montreal, but then we have people. We have one of our developers actually based in Leeds, in the UK. We have a guy in Spain, in Madrid, and then we have people all over Canada. I mean, Halifax, Ottawa, Sudbury, two guys in British Columbia. We have two people in California, one in Massachusetts, and our lead designer is in Vermont. And,
taking the benefit of online, right?
yeah. And we're a very modern company, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's great. And, you know, if you get somebody on the other side of Canada, it's almost like having them on the other side of the world, given all the distances that you got over there. So, no, it's great chatting today. And I wanted to sort of delve into the 2.0 release that you did last year. So I'm always interested in seeing how companies that have been running for a while sort of realize what the shortcomings maybe of the service are and how they go about either developing a 2.0 like you did or doing incremental changes until everything is fixed. So how did you go about releasing it and sort of restructuring how the site was built?
We redid everything.
Right.
and when Chris started the company, and keep in mind that's back in, like, he officially launched it in late 2003. So he had started working on it, I think, in 2002. He used a framework and a programming language called Cold Fusion,
right?
Which back then was a good idea, but it's a language that didn't evolve and ended up not getting supported. So when I joined, one of the first decisions we made was to completely redo all of our back end,
right,
and change our database infrastructure. Change all of our server infrastructure, and we ended up also redoing all of our front ends, our control panel, even our own like admin just for ourselves.
Pretty painful.
And support system. We redid the whole thing. We thought it would take about a year, and we decided that meant feature freeze on the old platform. And like keeping minimal, we only had one guy basically supporting the old platform, while the rest of the team was completely focused on the new platform. It's a 1 year project that turned into a 2.5 year project, and then at the end of last year we migrated, you know, our close to 20,000 websites and their owners to the new platform, and finally completed that project. Late last year. We still have to finish our own website, which we should launch. Our own website will get relaunched in a week or two.
Great.
And we also have one last big part of that project, which is redoing our control panel in more of a WYSIWYG way. So it's going to be, you're going to be able to edit your website right on the website, more or less. And now it's great, because now we have a good base. Adding new features and new options is something that now our developers can do super quickly.
Yeah.
Building new themes. Our goal is to have at least one new theme each week.
Wow.
So that's pretty exciting.
That's cool stuff. And so let's talk about a couple of the acquisitions that you guys have made as well, which are really interesting. Yeah. So the first one was back in, when was it? Let me just double check my notes. It was last year when you acquired Noteway Media.
Right. Yeah, we acquired, even before that, we acquired another company called Savvy.
Right.
And then we acquired Noteway, and both were pretty small acquisitions. To be honest, they were both companies that were sort of sort of looking for solutions, and with their founders trying to exit.
Yeah.
So we basically acquired their customers list and then migrated them to Banzoogle.
Yeah.
And then last year, yeah, I think a year ago, we acquired OneSheet.
Yeah.
For those not familiar with OneSheet, OneSheet is a kind of a basic website builder where you build a one-page website that then pulls in data from your SoundCloud, YouTube, Bandcamp, Instagram, like whatever, Songkick, Bands in Town, whatever external services you're using.
Yeah.
So OneSheet, I don't know, I expect your next question is what our projects are for OneSheet.
I mean, yeah, I was wondering sort of how you went about, because I know that you have a lot of interesting things going on when it comes to direct communications with fans on Banzoogle, including the ability to have sort of like a fan club type situation on the site as well. And I was wondering whether any of those sort of features that may come from OneSheet or even in Notway sort of made their way into that build.
Not really. I mean, most of the features we built, or most of the features we have, like we do have some features that are kind of old school.
Yeah.
Like definitely the fan forums are something that used to be very popular, six, 7 years ago. But we, with the advance of Facebook and social media in general, it's not something that newer artists or newer bands want to use. Though we do have a lot of members that still have pretty active forums on their websites.
Yeah.
Same with the guestbook. and those are all things that we want to keep, because when we talk about removing them, we get a lot of pushback from existing users for whom the guestbook is very important. So and all the features that we add to our roadmap and work on all come from user requests.
Yeah.
So really our users are our research and development. What we did get though from Savvy is some of the themes they had, some of the templates they were using. We reused a lot of them. They had some pretty cool modern looking themes, which while we were doing the big redesign of our backend, allowed us to have a few new fresh themes included into our platform.
Sure.
But yeah, the OneSheet product is something that we were hoping to rebuild earlier, but now we're finally getting to it. And and there's actually some Banzoogle features that we plan to plug into OneSheet.
Awesome. Nice.
So that's the plan there, because the basic OneSheet product is going to be a free way for you to build a simple one-page website.
Yeah.
But then some of the Banzoogle features, so things like the mailing list, things like the commerce options, maybe the blogging feature,
kind of work
and maybe things like the forums and stuff like that, we're kind of going to offer à la carte.
Yeah.
So that people can pick and choose what they want for their website.
Awesome.
That's our plan so far. It's something great that we're speccing right now.
And so talking about music and merch, I mean, we've seen a lot of movement in that space in the last sort of 12 to 18 months. How did you approach that part? Because, artists are able to sell merchandise on Banzoogle as well. Is it all fulfilled at their end? Have you thought about whether you wanted to get involved in fulfilling some of that, or how you wanted to approach that pretty sticky issue, really?
We thought about it, and we made the very conscious decision to stay out of that business.
Yeah.
So right now, our artists do it themselves. And a lot of our artists are at a stage in their career where they can go to the post office once a week and kind of, or their manager or someone on their team handles that themselves. We do have some, there's easy ways with email filters to automatically forward a transaction that happens on your Banzoogle powered store to whoever handles your fulfillment. So we do have a lot of them working with that. We also have users that will just integrate a different store into their Banzoogle website or link out to that store.
Yeah.
So artists are using MyPlayDirect or Big Cartel or Shopify even can easily do that. We also have an integration with Topspin. So some of our users just pull in their Topspin offers, similar to what we just did with Bandcamp, where you can... Bandcamp is a little different because... because it's the transaction fully happens on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
But same with Topspin. So if Topspin handles your fulfillment, you can add your Topspin offers to your Benzo website, and then Topspin's gonna handle e-commerce.
Yeah.
And sure. And for us, it's part of our approach. Like we kind of like to say that we're an all-in-one solution where you can do it all from Bandzoogle. But if in specific cases you want to use best-of-breed solutions, like Topspin or Bandcamp or SoundCloud for your players or Bands in Town for your events,
yeah,
we make it extremely easy for you to do that as well.
Great. And so you were talking about the Bandcamp integration. Actually, last week we had a long discussion on Bandcamp with a couple of musicians that used that heavily. So how did that come about, and sort of did you feel like it was a natural evolution for you to integrate the two platforms, or did you feel a bit of friction at the beginning? Because of course you also offer the same option, but you don't make any money out of that, so really it doesn't really matter to you guys.
That's exactly it. I mean, yeah. And I heard that episode yesterday. Actually, it's great. It's a great discussion about Bandcamp and direct to fan in general. Well, the reason why we actually convinced Bandcamp to work with us and let us do that integration. I as a music fan, I'm a huge fan of Bandcamp.
Yeah.
I think they're building a great great tools both for musicians but also for fans to discover new music, and they have a lot of features like pre-sales and things like that that are somewhat advanced and pretty cool. So we have a significant number of our users that had their websites with Bandzoogle and then also have a Bandcamp. And either they had some of their tracks on Bandzoogle, some of their tracks on Bandcamp, yeah, or they would be in both places, and or they would use the Bandcamp widgets on their Bandzoogle website, which often kind of looked awkward. And so like you said, like, I think our business models are very complementary.
Yeah.
Because like the basic Bandcamp is free, but then Bandcamp makes a commission on your sales. So yeah, it just made sense for us to integrate. Let our users easily consolidate all their transactions, their sales and downloads with Bandcamp, and also let any artist that's already active on Bandcamp build a website in 10 minutes with us, because they don't have to re-upload their tracks, they don't have to re-tag anything, they can just pull their music from Bandcamp. We're actually working on doing the same with SoundCloud right now.
Great. Awesome. Yeah. And so talking about, I wanted to ask you about mobile responsiveness. So it's a feature that came up on Bandzoogle late last year, I think, just after you launched the redesign. And I wanted to ask you sort of, how did you approach the mobile problem? Of course, having been around for a while, did you ever think or get requests from your users that wanted native apps? And did you ever come to sort of the crossroads of deciding whether you wanted to get about building native apps or mobile responsive websites? Of course, the latter road seems to be the most successful, in the sense that native apps are kind of hard to maintain and bit of a pain. But I was wondering if you had come to that decision, and how do you make it essentially?
It's similar to your earlier question about fulfillment. It's something that we considered. We definitely had a good number of requests for it, and we looked into it. And not to say that we won't ever do it, but it's an extremely complex endeavor to go build native apps, make sure they get supported by all the mobile, past and future mobile OSs. So we decided to not work on that. At the same time, we kind of surveyed our staff, our friends, and our users to say who here has specific artist apps on their phones. And very few had them. And then we asked who actually uses them, and almost no one uses them. So right now, if you're a band, unless you're a huge artist that's able to kind of build a network of fans, I don't think it makes sense to invest in an app. It makes a lot more sense to invest in a good, simple, clean website that will be responsive for any device, and where everything works, where the calendar works, the music players works, the commerce works. And so that's what we decided to focus on. So Absolutely. We made sure, the first thing we did is we made sure that all our themes are 100% responsive, and that's done. The next thing that we're doing now is making sure that our custom system is also 100% 100% responsive. It is now for features, but it isn't for layouts.
Yeah.
So we're kind of redoing our custom system so that even the completely customized website and themes will be fully responsive.
Yeah.
So that's our focus right now. If we end up building an app, it will be a Bandsogo app that would let you, you know, upload photos and post updates, easily post new blog posts directly from your phone. That's I
it's
think it's something
on
that
a,
makes
on
more
a
sense.
Band side, of course, it would make a lot of sense to facilitate that. And I mean, I totally agree. I think, you know, the one thing that was really advantageous of mobile apps was the push notifications. But as I'm seeing that more and more news websites, for example, on the Macs, on the you know, OS X, ask me to subscribe and then start notifying me in my notifications when there's an update, I feel like the same thing is going to come to mobile, and then it's kind of going to defeat the point of, you know, it's not going to be just apps that can give you push notifications, but it might actually become websites too that are going to give you that. So in that sense, I think, you know, it's going to evolve in that way. I don't think people are going to bother too much with the...
I mean, having access to stack features like push notifications, like the camera, and eventually most phones will have billing information, so your credit card's going to be I can see the advantages if someone can buy it directly from your. But you're right. Like at the same time, the mobile browsers, there's more and more you can do with the browser, and for now, I mean, we're a website company, so that's our focus for now. We're far from becoming an app company. There's some great companies out there that do it, and we might at some point partner up with one of them.
Sure.
But it's not our focus right now.
Yeah, exactly. And it's certainly something that may actually require to take you some funding up to hire a bunch of people to develop it.
Yeah.
So it would be definitely an expensive endeavor. And finally, I wanted to ask you about sort of the evolution of the company for how you see it evolving over the next couple of years. Do you see anything particularly of note that might change the way that you do business that's happening online, or in the way that people are interactive with their fans, or are you actually seeing a migration back to people's own websites, which would actually make it even more important for Bandsogo to continue in the way it's going?
The more that artists' online presence becomes fragmented, the more the website and the mailing list become important.
Yeah.
So as you know, as Facebook keeps evolving, and a lot of bands remember all the efforts they put into MySpace a few years ago, that, you know, kind of all those results vanished after a few years.
Yeah.
Facebook keeps changing their terms, and SoundCloud keeps changing, like, and all of those are great platforms, but I think more and more people understand it's important to have a destination that they will own forever.
Yeah.
Where they control the design, they control the narrative, they control the cost of action, where fans are one click away from signing up to the mailing list, fans are one click away from visiting the store or the calendar. So it's actually helpful for us. So our strategy going forward is to definitely keep growing. Like I still think in many areas of the music industry, we're kind of the best kept secret. Like in genres like electronic music, we need to do more. We need to get better visibility in outside of the US and Canada. We need to get better visibility. One of our projects is to make our platform multilingual. So we want to start targeting Latin America and all of Europe. One sheet is also a big part of our strategy going forward, like kind of grabbing that part of the market that might not need yet a full website, but still want to have a .com and a presence. And to be honest, we're also looking at kind of recreating Bandsogo, but for other markets.
Yeah.
So actors, comedians, kind of have the same basic needs as bands, so we're looking at that right now.
Yeah.
And some other businesses, some other types of personalities and entertainers.
Yeah, exactly. And in podcasts, I would imagine that if somebody's got just one podcast and they need a page, it is a pain now to work it all out. And I know that's the reason why a lot of people don't actually do it, but if there was a way to do it that easily, even outside of the music like music vertical, that would be definitely something people would use. And it's a fun conversation to have, because I know a lot of musicians are looking at their options right now and are trying to work out what is our best way forward. And you know, some of them end up on platforms like WordPress, but then if you're not particularly technically savvy, you end up trapped into a million different things, upgrades, and then the server goes down, and then things happen, and it's a bit of a nightmare, really, when you're hosting your own site if you don't know what you're doing. And so definitely great to see options like Banzoogle being about and helping musicians that are not that technically savvy or that just don't want the hassle of having to maintain their own site.
That's the thing. It's both the technical savviness, it's having the time, actually having the time to take care of all of that, having the money to have someone handle it for you.
Yeah.
And I mean, our job is to knock down the reasons, like any reason for a musician not to use Banzoogle for their website. I think we're knocking them down one by one.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I think we kind of live in a bubble. Like, all of us, they're part of the music tech space, where yeah. we might read Hypebot and digital music news each day and check out the digital music trends, and we forget that 85-90% of musicians like don't know or care about any of this. Yeah. So it's definitely our mission to empower those to use those tools and control their own online presence, because too many of them end up, you know, not doing it or giving control away to someone else, and then they can't update their own websites.
Yeah.
They can't sell their music or, you know, build the mailing list. That's our mission.
Awesome. Well, David, it was a real pleasure having you on today, and thanks so much for your time. And once again, it is banzoogle.com, or you can find them on Twitter on @banzoogle. And check out the website, even if you're not a musician, just to see what they are up to. And again, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thanks, Andrea. That was a pleasure.
And thanks so much for listening to the DMT One-to-One Show. It comes out every week, pretty much. And you can find it on digitalmusictrends.com, and then click through to the One-to-One link on the menu. If you're listening to the audio version of the show, of course, you can find the video version on YouTube and also as a podcast. And vice versa, if you're listening to the video version but would like to be able to take it away and listen to on the go while you're running or anything else, you can find the audio version pretty much everywhere, including SoundCloud. Thanks so much for listening. Have a fantastic week, and until next time. If you enjoyed watching or listening to the show and would like to find more, head on to digitalmusictrends.com.